And we are back here on WWL. Jeff Nowak bringing you up till 8 p.m. You can tune in on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app and on YouTube, because I did just hit the go live button, which, as far as I know, the sound is good. I can't listen to it, so it's all a guess, but we'll find out. Either way, you know, our YouTube channel, Cullen, this is a big moment. We just ticked past 11,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Whoop-de-doo.
This, when I adopted this baby a few years ago, we had like 400. So it's nice. People really
putting
like
that work.
People really like Bobby's post-game rant.
I will tell you, even though I work here, I use our YouTube feed for Bobby's rant, and I use it for Inside Black and Gold.
It's funny. You know, I just started putting that up there, and you know, some videos are really popular. Some are, you know, that one, I feel like people just come back to it every week, especially because they know when the Saints do something like beat the Cowboys the way they did on Sunday, he's gonna have a come apart. And man, I enjoyed that one for sure. He was all stuttering and
I want to match, you know, the win's over. I want to match that excitement. I want someone else to match that excitement.
No question. Yeah, we are live on YouTube. I'm filling in for Steve tonight. This is typically our Inside Black and Gold podcast recording night. So we're going to double up. It's not going to make complete sense to either end, but we'll do it for you. But first things first, I do want to get to the Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line. That's 504-260-1870. We're going to bring in Big Cheesy out in Metairie. How you doing, man?
How you doing, guys? How y'all doing today?
Doing good. Talking about Saints in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, I have a question. I want to see if we're all on the same page.
All right.
I want to know which teams does the New Orleans Saints in 2 weeks, just 2 weeks in this offense, which team do they resemble in the NFL in the past? Because I have the team. I just want to see if you guys are on the same page.
So you're talking about, like, past teams as in, like, okay, historic teams or other teams in the NFL now?
Yeah, no, other teams in the NFL, yeah.
Okay. I would say they look like the Dolphins, personally. I've said that for a while now. I think the Tyreek Hill, Rashid Shaheed duo reminds me a lot of the Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed duo reminds me a lot of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. The schemes they're running, you're talking about a lot of motion. You know, the 49ers is the one everyone goes to, but I think just the playmakers the Saints have, they remind me a little more of the Dolphins. That's who I would go with. And that's why when you look at, like, I watched the Dolphins hang 70 points on the Broncos last year. Like, they can score in a hurry, kind of like the Saints have this year. That's who I would go with personally.
I got one for you. You ready?
Yeah, do it.
All right, here we go. Matt Schaub, Aaron Foster,
Texans,
and Andre Johnson.
Okay.
That's what this New Orleans Saints team, I think the coach was Gary Kubiak, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was Gary at that point.
With the zone running, I'm talking about they look identical from what I can remember with the play action and the zone running from to the outside. They look identical.
Give me a year. Give me a year. What year are we talking about? I want to kind of look up some of the numbers.
I didn't do my research on the years.
Big cheesy.
I remember the coach and I remember the players.
I'm going to look up Arian Foster, and we're going to go from there, and we'll see what was his best year. Because I do remember, you know, I can't remember the kid's name, but it was like, I was in college. It was probably like 2009, 2010, and this kid was like, hey, man, the player you need to watch out for that no one's talking about right now, Arian Foster. And I was like, sure, the guy who was named after a bird or something. Like, and then when you know, you look, it was like, holy crap, he's right. But yeah, so I look at 2010, we're talking Arian Foster, average 4.9 yards a carry, 1,616 yards. The Texans didn't have a great year. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that their upside is a little higher, but I guess 2011 would be the year. They went to the playoffs, they beat the Bengals. But no, I think that's a fair comparison. I think anytime you look at, okay, we got Clint Kubiak, he's running essentially the scheme that his dad and Mike Shanahan popularized. It would make sense. Yeah, going back to the Texans. Andre Johnson, I don't know if the Saints have a player on the current roster that can be compared to Andre Johnson. That's the only part of it that doesn't necessarily work for me. What are you still there? Big Cheesy?
Yeah, I'm still here. We don't. Yeah. We don't have.
But other than that, I could see it. Go ahead.
I want to know, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I want to know, since we didn't give Alvin the money this offseason, right? Alvin is going to be the number one, probably top free agent coming up, free agent. Do we pay him? Do we pay him the money next year? Ugh. Or do we just flat out just let him go on free agent?
It's tough, right? It's tough. I kind of feel like if you're going to pay him, you're going to do it in season. I don't want to get to the off season if I'm going to do it. And the question is, okay, is Alvin willing to play ball on that, knowing now? And this is where it's like, okay, would it make sense to get this done ahead of time, right? Would you have been better off trying to figure it out versus, hey, we're going to see what happens? Because that's my read on it was always like, hey, if I'm Alvin, I'm not upset that you're not going to pay me. I mean, obviously, I would have preferred to get it done in a more congenial way, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to make this way more expensive than you thought it would be. And for right now, it sure looks like that's going to be the case. And I thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Big Cheesy. We do want to get to some more audio here. But no, and I mean, we'll see how the rest of the season goes for Alvin. I mean, if there was the obvious question going into the season was, okay, is this about Alvin or is this about the offense, right? Were these last 2 years where you had, you know, career lows in yards per carry and you just the production, the efficiency wasn't there. Is that about a declining running back or is that about an offense and a system that is antiquated, that cannot keep up with modern NFL defenses that are a lot faster, that fly around the field a lot more than they used to, that you can scheme around with simpler concepts, but you need the players and you need the wherewithal to do it. Is that going to fix it for him? And so to this point, I think it has. And, you know, to change gears a little bit, you know, one thing that we're talking about, and I saw someone on the text line say Alvin isn't a free agent next year. No, he's not. But the final year of his deal is basically, you know, it's not guaranteed past a certain point, right? So it would be a $28 million cap hit if you kept him. You could obviously extend it past that, but I mean, it's tough. And we'll have to see. We'll see how Alvin continues to shape up the rest of the way. But I do want to hear a clip from DA because one of the things that's going to happen this year, in my opinion, is you're going to, you know, it's the struggle of looking this good this early is you've got such a long road left to travel. Teams are going to get film on you. They're going to get more of a book on Clint Kubiak and what he likes to do. And how do you kind of self-scout and adjust to that as the season goes on from a player perspective, from a play call perspective, from a scheme perspective. And then how do you not get like too high on your own supply, right? How do you not look at what we've done and say, hi, I proved you all wrong? This is what DA said about that when he was asked today.
Yeah, look, I think that's the league that we're in. You know, you have to manage adversity and you have to manage prosperity. You know, it's a constant game of management. You know, when things are going bad, you know, there's a tendency to think, you know, the sky is falling and everything's awful. And when things are going well, there's a tendency to kind of think that you can do no wrong. And you have to fight both of those. You know, and so the key is you have to have a belief, a formula, a system of the way that we operate. And the results, we don't worry about the results. We got to worry about the process. We got to worry about the preparation. We got to worry about, you know, our focus on the task at hand. And then when you do those things and you do those things well, the results kind of take care of themselves. And so it's much more difficult, you know, with, you know, all you guys writing 4 or 5 articles a day, you know, to ignore the noise. But that's really what you have to do either way.
Did you believe in, I don't know, don't eat cheese and all that, you know, not get too caught up in the
Of that? Well, I would say this. I would say nobody should be eating any cheese in week 2 of the season going into week 3. You know, like, it's early. You know, we got... And when you watch the tape, you look at it and you'd say, yeah, we did good things, okay? But there's still a lot of things that we have to clean up and that we have to be, you know, better at. And so that's really where you have to try to focus. I thought our guys came out today. I thought they had a focus. I thought they had an intensity. I thought they prepared well. They were into the plan. in all three phases. So that's the formula for success. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win every game, but if you don't do that things, those things, it makes it very difficult to have success.
So there you have it. DA, not a cheese guy. Not a cheese guy. He's more of a wine guy. I'll pair it with crackers. Not going for the cheese. But no, I agree with that. You know, it's tough. And if you can't stick to your system and stick to your kind of core beliefs, and you say, hey, we were right, you were wrong, it's going to get old real fast. And you got a long way to go. That's why we're talking about with Mike at the end of the last hour. It's difficult because you look at it and say, okay, we want to be peaking at the end of the season. Teams want to be playing their best football in week 18. And whatever you want to say about last year's coaching staff, that was the case. This team was playing its best football in week 18. Can you start this hot and maintain that throughout the course of the year to the point that you're not the Eagles last year, right? Like, look at how the Eagles started that season versus how they finished that season. That's what you have to avoid. And, you know, one thing that Derek said that I appreciated, and we don't have to play the clip, I'll read the quote that I thought was good. He was asked kind of the same question. He said, I think we've been kicked around a little bit too much to where we just don't even care what people think. And you know what? Good. That's how I want, you know, I think there has been enough negativity around this team that you can maintain that edge even when people are being nice to you, right? Even when, Colin Cowherd isn't saying your coach is going to be fired by week 5, and when you're not ending up at number 28 in power rankings. And, like, I think that there's enough on that bulletin board already that you could still be reading it all the way through the season. What do you think, Colin?
100%. You hear that quote, and I'm in here just saying, hell yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's... But I also understand the whole, like, getting on high on your own supply type of deal. We beat the Cowboys, and I'm reading Twitter people going, like, we're going to beat the Eagles by 50. This is before Monday Night Football. And it's like, it's good that we're way more optimistic than we were a couple weeks ago, even though we were optimistic, but nobody else around, you know, outside of New Orleans really was. And I like that the expectations are still being set that, like, hey, we're still being underrated.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. They were 2-0 last year. We talk about that team last year as if, like, oh, it was all terrible all the time. Now, it was an ugly 2-0. It certainly wasn't pretty. You beat the Titans 17-16, and then you go to Carolina, and you're like, eh, okay, you know, this team's probably pretty bad, this Carolina team, but we won it. Then you go out to Green Bay, and, like, I was feeling great through two games in the first three quarters in Green Bay. You were looking at, wow, we might shut out the Packers and be 3-0. And then one hit, and all of a sudden, meow. Now the biggest difference, and we'll talk more about this, that offensive line is blocking its butt off. I mean, that's the biggest thing for me, that it's like we went into this season talking about the offensive line is the biggest issue. The offensive line is what I'm scared. Derek Carr is going to get eaten alive. This is a problem. And not only has it been fine, has it not been an issue, it's been a strength. And, you know, you go back and you watch the film from that game, and you got to give Clint Kubiak a lot of credit. And Clint Kubiak deserves a lot of credit, almost too much credit, to the point that, yeah, this might be a one-and-done OC situation in New Orleans. He's going to be getting calls for coaching jobs. But the scheme that they threw out there, and you got to give John Benton credit, you got to give Rick Dennison credit, to shut down Micah Parsons. Like, you watch all the things they did to him, and it wasn't just, hey, we're going to send three blockers at him every play. There were plays multiple times in that game. You saw them show, like, he was going to get double-teamed, triple-teamed, and then you had both of those extra guys, the fullback, the tight end, motion across and block somebody else, and then leave him one-on-one with Trevor Penning, and it was like he was so caught off guard by that he just had nothing. That the move he was planning to use doesn't work against the one-on-one set, and he was just like, wow, look, Trevor Penning looks like an all-pro left or right tackle. And, man, that's just cool to see. It's cool to see a modern team, a modern-looking offense. And it's simple. That's the best part about it, is, like, you're looking at these concepts. You're not trying to trick anybody. You're just trying to punch them in the face, and they have no answer. But, no, I appreciate the calls. We got a lot of texts. We got a lot of YouTube comments that I want to get into. We will be having kind of a more of a mailbag segment to close out. We'll also have Greg Allman, who covers the NFC South. for Fox, so we're going to talk to him in the 7 o'clock hour. But this is WWL. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Colin Steele. We will be right back. Keep it locked on WWL.